Co-host Scott Patton, along with the globe-trotting founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm back from 3 weeks of eating food that I shouldn't be eating, and a nine-hour time zone change, so plenty of jet lag, and I'm feeling my years, so to speak.
Yeah, you spent 3 weeks over in the Czech Republic visiting your mom and
yes.
spreading the good word about the Exela line of products to the Europeans. And
I did.
And it was nice when you flew back because you had a couple hours stop over in Vancouver, and we got to go for a walk along the dike just south of the Vancouver International Airport.
That was glorious, and I really enjoyed getting wet with you.
Yeah, it was pouring rain the whole time, but... We live in a rainforest, so that's to be expected.
That's right. But you know what was interesting is as we're walking, I'm noticing that my body isn't functioning as well as it did before I left.
Mm.
You know, some of the joints are moving with restriction. Some of the muscles are not lengthening as they should. You know, it's just, I mean, I was able to feel myself sort of starting out okay and finishing, you know, I think it was a 2-hour walk. I was definitely having some mechanical problems by the end of it.
Right. And, you know, part of that, I guess, could be just being up in a plane cramped for
10 hours.
That's certainly not going to help. And whatever you're eating there, if it's the airplane food, it's not going to help either, I suppose.
All of that. But, you know, the whole thing is that the physiology, the physiological response in the body
mm-hmm.
is that of inflammation. And the way we register it is we register it first as swelling, then as discomfort, and then further on as pain.
Yeah, aches and pains, right?
Right. Well, there are actually four symptoms listed under inflammation, which is heat, redness, swelling, and pain. So, you know, typically you only notice it when it's on the surface, you know, like you have an inflamed tooth, you'll get it in spades. The gums will swell, the face will swell, it's all red.
Yeah.
And it hurts like hell. Right? That's the extreme expression of it in your face. But a lot of this sort of thing is subclinical, you know, meaning that you don't quite notice it yet it takes place. It's sort of like a fire that's underground, you know?
Right.
It
could also be like it's a little bit of a pain, but it's sort of a dull ache, and after a while you just sort of ignore it, and then you don't even realize you've got it going on.
Right. You learn to live with it. That's your new normal.
The new normal, exactly.
Yeah. But that is exactly what inflammation is all about. And, you know, all the illnesses that doctors catalog with inflammation as its primary cause, they have either itis or otis or itis in its Latin name. You know, like arthritis,
right.
Or vasculitis, or otitis, or diabetes. You know, those are the names that they give it. And the interesting thing is that they bother cataloging each one of them as a separate, different, discrete event.
Right. When actually all it is your body is inflamed in that spot.
Yes. Right. It reminds me of this sort of situation where we would take a fleet of vehicles and then abuse the daylights out of them. You know, like, I don't know what I could imagine. A bunch of dune buggies that we would just not maintain, just run them crazy out there. And after a year, 97 out of 100 will be broken down.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll start analyzing. And with one of them, it'll be the blown tire. And another one, it will be the blown wheel bearings and the differential and the head gasket and the fuel injection, and, you know, like we can start naming all these different parts on the car that would blow, that would make it not run.
Right, right.
And yet, the cause is not any of those. The cause is not the bad carburetor or fuel injection or differential. The cause is the way you used it. I mean, yes, it was the weakest link, right? It was perhaps the differential had some dust in it, or perhaps the head gasket had a miniature microscopic crack in it, or something that caused it to go first, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what made it go was not the part. It was how you used it.
Or abused it.
Right. So in the case of the human body, if you start taking ibuprofen so that you can go have yourself a walk or a game of tennis, you're being really stupid and ignorant. And yet, that's exactly what the drug hucksters are pushing on television. I mean, you see the happy grandpa running with his grandchild, smiling as heck. Tylenol.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know how else to put it other than it's just so ignorant. Instead of teaching us about, well, if 20 or 30 or 40 years earlier you would have heeded the early signs of inflammation, you wouldn't have gotten here. And even if you do get here, you can still reverse most of it.
So what's the way to reverse it?
Well, one of the most obvious signs that leads to inflammation is acidity. And so excess acidity in the body is what needs to be taken up.
Yeah.
We actually have something quite magical. It's called the Miracle-2 Neutralizer. And it's a liquid form of what's also known as the balanced base powder. So you can add this neutralizer to your drinking water and balance yourself.
Oh, cool.
Wasn't it interesting when I was showing you a little earlier about body types, how actually there are two discrete, distinct body types, one that produces its energy mainly through the Krebs cycle, and the other one that produces its energy mainly through the hormonal system?
Yeah.
And so it really is clear that to one person, fruit and vegetable mix and juice will be acidifying, whereas to another person it will be alkalizing. And the opposite, something like a high protein steak or something like that meal, will be acidifying to one person and alkalizing to the other.
Wow.
So no nutritionist can ever say this is what everybody should do. You know, a fruitarian will extol the healthy aspects of eating fruit only.
Right, right.
And he'll insist that that's how you alkalize the human body. But that's only true for about half the population.
The other half, it's the opposite effect.
Right, yeah. If you eat cake, it'll kill you. You need to eat steak. And you need to go hunting, and you need to kill the deer and slice out its liver and eat it raw.
Wow.
just to give you an extreme, right?
Right.
I mean, you could be a vegetarian, but you need to be eating vegetarian protein, not vegetarian sugars. Right. So if we want to just stay within the vegetarian realm, in one group of people, eating something like the hemp protein powder or pea protein powder or something like that will be alkalizing, whereas to the other people, it'll be acidifying. So one should find out.
Right. And that's, I guess that's an insight into why we have often so much contradictory information out there when it comes to people's health. We're trying to get a one-size-fits-all when that's just not the way it works.
Right. Yes. And, of course, the mainstream insists on having everything really simple. It has to be push-button simple with a single answer fitting a single question.
Right.
And it ain't so.
It's not the way it works.
Right. However, we all know that reactive oxygen species is the material within your cell, inside of the cell, that's produced by the mitochondria that can indeed be very damaging to your cell if it's not opposed in a balanced way.
Right.
So we actually do have supplements that do that. Like one of them is called Cell Food, and that's the only supplement out there that provides a balanced supply of both reducing and oxidating supplements or elements or nutrients.
Mm.
Previously, in the popular culture, most people are just jumping around saying, well, you have to eat antioxidants because you're oxidating, right? Your oxidating damage is increasing. That's the aging. So
yep.
they would be shoveling antioxidants in, saying, well, this is what you need to prevent it. But it's not that simple, because without oxidation, you'd be dead. So if you overdo the antioxidation, you actually put out the fire that keeps you going. Like in an automobile, you have the combustion chamber with the spark and the fuel and the fumes, and you actually create an explosion in there. Well, around it, you have the cooling system, right? Like the coolant
yep.
that runs through the pipes that are drilled through the head and all of that. And the two should never meet, right? Like you don't want to have your coolant in your engine. When you do that, that's the end of your engine.
Right, right.
In a human cell, it's a little different. These things are actually swimming in the same soup. They are just separated in a microscopic way. But they, when you create the flame of the oxidation to create energy, then you need to mop it up with the reduction elements, the antioxidants. And if that is out of balance, out of kilter, you start creating damage, destructive damage, aging, disease.
Yeah. Inflammation.
That is, inflammation is when this is out of balance.
Yeah, it's really amazing to me, too, how many people are not aware of their pain.
Right. Oh, yes, gosh, we are educated, we are trained to ignore, to overcome, to get past the pain, right?
Yeah.
And I guess in a warrior, that's a useful thing, right?
Right.
And I guess the metaphor for that would be, say, a game of football or soccer or hockey or something like that, where you just keep going. Never mind the little incidents that you're getting bruised and beat and losing function to this limb or that limb. You just keep going, right?
Yeah, yeah. But that's not really that good for long-term health.
No. No, long-term you end up with arthritis and cancer and cataracts and macular degeneration and diabetes and asthma is another one of those. So there actually are supplements that are able to directly reduce this, either by supplementing their reduction in oxidation nutrients that are needed, or by supplementing the part of your immune system that calms this whole thing down.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, indeed cool.
So how does the calming of the immune system part work?
Well, you need to reduce the the need to reduce the presence of these elements that are causing this
inflammation.
Damn it! It's called reactive oxygen species, ROS.
So the reactant oxygen species are what causes the inflammation.
They cause the oxidative damage.
The oxidative damage,
which then results in the inflammation, and pain, and disease. And so you need to supply sufficient opposing forces, like glutathione peroxidase, superoxide dismutase, catalase. Those are the sort of things that help the glutathione to recycle the antioxidants like vitamin C, A, and whatever else that is keeping all of this in check. So dehydration, loss of function, or membrane receptivity, and sclerosing of the tissue, hardening, right? So what do we do to reverse it? Well, we need to supply things that help the good guys, help the not sclerosing, hardening, stealing, and dehydrating elements. Most of them are found in dark pigments of plants.
The dark red. So kale and spinach and red algae. Cabbage, algae.
Yes, especially those.
Broccoli.
But here's an interesting one, red wine.
We keep hearing about red wine and its antioxidative effects.
Right, especially the component called resveratrol. The trouble with this darn thing is that you need to drink 500 bottles of wine a day to get a decent effect.
You'd be probably have a different problem if you did that, eh?
Of course you would.
A couple different problems.
Yeah, you would. I don't know that anyone could do 500 bottles of wine a day. But the thing is that the resveratrol that's in there is, you can concentrate it. And it's readily available. We add it into the superfoods we make and one other product that we have that really helps people with oxidative damage, one called Recovery. It's got a decent amount of the resveratrol in it. It also is mixed with EGCG, the epigallocatechin gallate. Isn't it nice how the names just roll off and you think, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah, it's just what I was thinking. You say it very well, Martin, but I have no idea what it is.
Well, it's just labels, right? It's sort of like names of four guys on the same team. I mean, it's just nothing, you know, like naming the guys who scored the goals in the old Stanley Cup game, right?
Right.
I mean, well, who cares? But anyway, it is a stack of atoms that are put together into a molecule that has the ability to affect its environment in this calming, soothing way.
Neat.
Yeah. Like the proanthocyanidins. Anyway, yeah, if you want a degree in chemistry, you can go and get really clear about it. It's really simple. I mean, it really is. I mean, the building blocks of all of this are really limited. You know, you start with water, which is oxygen and hydrogen. You add to it carbon. Now you have a carbohydrate, which is the source of energy. You add nitrogen to it. Now you have a protein, which is a building block, right?
Right.
So the protein is fed on carbohydrate, which is being transported by water.
Cool.
And the oxygen is the thing that makes it burn, and the hydrogen is what makes it cool. So all of these things coming together in this harmonious dance. So when we mess up the steps, that's when things fall apart. So how do we make it not fall apart. I mean, I did make it fall apart. What did I do, right?
Well, you probably got little sleep.
Yeah, I didn't sleep as much.
Your time zone was turned upside down. I mean, your internal clock was turned upside down.
Yep, plenty of stress.
You were probably eating your mom's cooking.
Yes, she bakes up a storm. She is so good.
It's delicious, I'm sure.
Oh, just melts in your mouth. And also, on top of it, the Czechs are phenomenal at three things. Their beer is probably the best in the world, really.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about it.
Well, you know, you should know that Pilsen is the capital of Western Bohemia, and Budweiss is the capital of Southern Bohemia.
Now, I wonder where two of the more popular beer names came from.
Well, one is Budweiser, and the other one is Pilsner.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, these guys really have created the beer culture. The Bavarians are good at it, but they learned it from the, you know, the Czechs. Anyway, so that, plus the other thing that they make phenomenally well is bread and baking, you know? Like, they are just so good at it. And the third thing that they're phenomenal at is all of the dairy stuff. I mean, I cannot believe that you cannot get a yogurt or a creamy quark soft cheese product in North America that's even half as nice as what they've got there. I mean, shelves full of it. I mean, you come into the store and there's, okay, you want a creamy cottage cheese with flavor. Okay, well, let's go. You want it, you know, with blueberry, vanilla, strawberry, coconut, plain? That's on the sweet side. Or do you want it with chives, garlic, onion, you know, spices? It's on the salty side, right?
Wow.
It just keeps going, you know. And then you come visit some people, you know, go visit old friends. And on the table, there is this fine baguette with one of these spreads that they just made, you know. Homemade stuff. I mean, you're going to watch it or what, right?
Yeah.
And it tastes so damn good. So, sure enough, 3 weeks of this, and I'm in pain. I'm in pain.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm back on my alkalizing diet.
And that's one of the keys, too, right, is to get rid of the acidity. That'll help with the inflammation.
Indeed.
I had a friend that I went behind her and kind of just rubbed her shoulders, right? And she was like, ow, ow. And I go, what? You were really, you know, I mean, I was very gentle. And she was like, I was squeezing her. So I started poking her on her back, you know, just a little tap, tap, tap. And she was like, ow, ow. I can't believe all that's so painful. And I said, oh, you're really inflamed. And I recommended, I think, the recovery, and she tried that, and like 2 weeks later, I went up behind her and gave her a poke, and was like, oh.
No pain.
No. How come you didn't scream? Well, that didn't hurt. That was harder than I did 2 weeks ago. Really? A few more pokes on the back, and it was like, wow. I was just absolutely amazed at the difference once she had made a little bit of change, because I'm sure it wasn't a massive change in her alkalinity.
Mm. You recovery will directly lower the inflammation.
Oh, okay, so that's what it was. It was pretty amazing, and it's always neat when you see, you know, something happening like almost immediately after someone tries something. It was mm-hmm. really cool.
Yes, indeed. So if you can combine several things together, magnesium for sure, then internally the baking soda. You know, like the liquid neutralizer works really well. And then the perhaps a serrapeptase or, you know, an enzyme like xylitol or zyme essence, because they will eat away all of the scarring, all of the hardening that's already taken place, returning you back into the younger state.
Wow.
And then the last part, which would be the the anti-inflammatory, which is like the we mentioned resveratrol and the extract of the green tea, and there are others. In recovery, there are a few other exotic things like TMG, trimethylglycine, which is the protein that specifically lowers the pain in the body. Like it's used by athletes, you know, to not feel the pain of hard training and injuries.
Right.
So indeed, that's what you gave her.
Yeah.
A ticket to life without pain.
Yeah.
Now you can of course do this with Tylenol or ibuprofen. But what they do is they essentially turn off the signaling.
Right, so you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not there.
Right.
And when it's there, it's doing damage, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're broken. You have cells exploding or rubbing or dying in thousands.
And when you've got the recovery, you've got the cells turning back into a healthy form as opposed to a ill form.
Right, exactly.
That's an important distinction, I think.
Oh, absolutely. People need to understand it, and they don't. This is the classic problem with the allopathic medicine. They say when the symptoms have disappeared, the illness is gone.
Hmm.
And they make no distinction between disconnecting the signaling system and removing the physiological cause for the pain.
Right.
Terrible.
And so it's kind of, it reminds me when you speak like that, that of the famous children's story about the little kid in Holland putting his finger in the holes in the dike trying to stop the water from coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pretty soon you've run out of fingers. To pop in holes, and
yep.
The water's still coming through. And that's kind of like what happens when you just mask the pain or the inflammation.
That's right. Well, so I'm feeling all talked out.
Well, we have come pretty much to the end of today's show. You mentioned recovery. Are there any other products that you would, like the superfoods, that you would recommend?
Of course, all of that, you know, all of it. Starting from chlorella, spirulina, and other algae, and the Exula superfoods, and...
recovery, of course.
Recovery itself. All of these are listed, you know, if you come at Life Enthusiast website and click on Health Concerns Inflammation, you will immediately see all of these things listed. You know, the magnesium and there's a really interesting product that we have listed. It's called ASEA. It's an antioxidant mix, and it provides these both reducing and oxidating elements, components, so that it's letting your body manage itself in an effective way.
All right. So topically, magnesium would be good, the magnesium
yes.
oil. And
yeah.
Would enzymes, like the xylitol enzymes, be a good...
What they do is they reduce the buildup of the scar tissue that's the result of, you know, long-term inflammation. So that's why we list it there. You know, it helps you reduce all of...
Rebuild.
Strip down and recover.
Yeah. Very neat. Great. So the Life Enthusiast Co-op website is at www.life-enthusiast.com. And so you can go there, go under Health Concerns, Inflammation. You'll be able to see lots of information, lots more information, way more than we had time to cover today, and also some products that we really strongly recommend to combat inflammation. And in addition to, you know, having a healthy diet, organic, dark leaf, green leaf vegetables and red vegetables are top of the shopping list for any inflammation issues you may have.
Right. And here's a critical point. Depending on which body type you are, you either need to eat more fruits or more steak or you know, more carbs or more protein. So you need to figure that out for yourself.
Right.
I mean, the dark leafy and or pigments and all of that material that we have mentioned, that's the universal.
It doesn't matter which one you are, you got to have that.
Right. It's the energy. It's how you extract energy. You either extract it from carbohydrates primarily or for proteins primarily.
So if we want to find that out, is there a place to go on the site where we can...
Yes, there's a test that's written by Dennis Myers.
So under the articles?
Yeah, under articles, Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, and I think it's metabolic... Help me, I don't remember off the top of my head here. I think it was something like that. Sorry about that, I'm not ready, but I will be in just a second. I'm just looking it up right now. And it's Myers, and it's metabolic type. Okay. And this should probably be it for today. Plenty of reading for all of our happy listeners, if you can come back to the computer and spend some time staring at these pages. Anyway,
yeah, we'll put a link on the podcast page for the metabolic typing, too, to make it easier for people to find.
Right. Okay, well, so here we go. This is Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Find us at www.life-enthusiast.com. There's a blog and a podcast and who knows what else links there.
Lots of good stuff. And if somebody needs to speak to you in more detail about inflammation, Martin, how could they get a hold of you?
We're at 1-866-543-3388. We answer the phone 12 hours a day.
There you go. Inflamed or not?
Yes.
Great. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time.